morning and welcome. Yes, you are tuned into 2SER 107.3 and my name is Andrew Popel. A special hello to all the book lovers because, of course, this is Final Draft. It is a pleasure to be with you again to talk books, writing and literary culture. Final Draft is bringing you authors from around Australia to get you into the latest in Australian literature. And it is a special time every month. At the end of the month, we bring you the Australian Classics Book Club. In the Australian Classics Book Club, we take a look back across Australian letters. We discover books and writing and authors that have helped shape much of how we consider ourselves today. And today is no less of an amazing, perhaps one of Australia's greatest novelists. We will be discussing Henry Handel Richardson's Myself When Young. I'm going to be joined in the book club, as always, with a senior editor from Text. Jane Pearson will be joining me today. Text classics are they're the classics that we draw our Australian classics from. Also going to be joined by one of Australia's foremost biographers, Dr. Brenda Nile. So that's coming up after this short break. It is the end of the month. Gosh, it's July. The year is more than half gone. But you have Australian classics to look forward to as we discuss Henry Handel Richardson's Myself When Young after this very short break.
Can't get enough of our tunes? Head to the Old Clare Bar on Wednesdays for Spin Out and catch all your favourite 2SER DJs live on the decks. The next instalment on July 31 features DJs Piero and Tierra Boo from When the Levee Breaks. Come grab the $5 schooner of the day, some midweek dinner, or just enjoy the tunes. Spin out at the Clare Bar Wednesdays in July and August from 5 till 9 p.m. 2SER is a partner of Spin Out.
You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3 and this is Final Draft. My name is Andrew Popel, and if you're keeping an eye on your calendar, you know that it is the last weekend of the month and it is time for us to discuss a classic of Australian literature in a segment that we've cleverly named the Australian Classics Book Club. Joining me today in the book club is Dr. Brendan Nile. Brenda is one of Australia's foremost biographers, and in 2004 she was awarded the Order of Australia for services to Australian literature as an academic, a biographer and a literary critic. Brenda, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you here.
A pleasure to be here, Andrew.
And also joining me is Jane Pearson. Jane's a senior editor at Text Publishing. Of course, Text have the Text Classics range, and this is where we draw our Australian classics. Jane, welcome.
Thank you, Andrew.
Now, today, without further ado, we're going to be discussing one of the greats of Australian letters. We've got Henry Handel Richardson's Myself When Young. Now, before we get into the book, Jane, because can you give us a little bit of an insight into who Henry Handel Richardson is?
Yes, well, I'll try, Andrew. In some ways, she's perhaps doesn't even need an introduction. She's arguably one of Australia's, if not Australia's, greatest novelist. And I think lots of people, particularly people listening now, will be well familiar with her novel, The Getting of Wisdom, and also The Fortunes of Richard Marnie. We know her, everybody's heard of her as Henry Handel Richardson, but she was actually born Ethel Florence Lindsay Richardson. She hated the name Ethel, and Florence too, I believe. So I guess it's no wonder at some point she changed her name. But she was born in Melbourne in 1870 and had a very, very interesting childhood. Her father died when she was quite young, about 9 years old, and that brought about quite a change in the family's circumstances. Her mother was very resourceful and got a job as a postmistress, and she and her daughters lived in various country towns in Victoria. Then Etty, as she was known then, went off to boarding school in Melbourne, and then after school to Leipzig to study music, where she met her husband, George Robertson. And they lived in Melbourne for a time and then back in Australia. She wrote her amazing novels. As you read this this memoir, you see where a lot of the material for those novels came from. And she died in Melbourne in 1946. So she's had quite a life, and you get a really wonderful insight into that life in this memoir of her early years.
I've got joined by Dr. Brenda Nosh. She's one of Australia's foremost biographers. You've written the introduction to the text classics Henry Handel, Richardson's Myself When Young. Now, it struck me both from your introduction but also Richardson's writing that she was a reluctant writer of her own life. And Myself When Young was written sort of in extremis as war raged over the skies of Britain. I wondered, what can we make of her state of mind and her intentions when writing from this?
Well, one factor, I think, was that she knew she had by then, in later life, had experience of great success with The Fortunes of Richard Marney, though her earlier books had not become so well known. But she had become a celebrity. She had people wanting to interview her. She read the results of the interviews, and they often made her pretty annoyed because they got her so wrong. So one impulse towards telling her own story, I think, was to get it right, to get it down before she died. She knew she was dying, and she wanted her real self to be known rather than the inventions that she so much was so much annoyed by in both British, American and Australian versions. She wanted to be in control. She was a very strong woman, in many ways, I suppose, a difficult woman, a generous woman, but also someone who was pretty formidable. And she just wanted to say it was like this.
So what you're describing there, I think a lot of people would recognise as celebrity culture, where the media are constantly interpreting and reinterpreting and trying to read a person who is in the spotlight. And we take it for granted now, but I wonder whether there is something particular about Henry Handel Richardson's output, her novels, her books, that made her very keen to make sure people got it right. Because as Jane mentioned in her introduction, there is so much in her books that people read as being her, being
yes.
aspects. Was it particularly important for her output that things weren't misinterpreted when they read the books?
Well, I think quite a lot, probably. For one thing, there was the question of the name that she wrote under. She wrote under the male pseudonym Henry Handel Richardson, but as she got better known, that fiction, that mask that she called it, the mask that she hid behind, that really was removed from her and was known that she was a woman. She was often addressed as Henrietta, which drove her crazy. Henrietta was not what she wanted at all, and she wanted to talk about the reason that she took the pseudonym Henry Handel Richardson instead of her real name, Ethel Florence. It was partly because she didn't like the name Ethel, and one can't blame her, but also because in the early part of her writing life, she wanted a distance between the writing and the writer. She didn't want it assumed that her first novel, which was set in Leipzig, the musical culture of her early years, a novel called Morris Guest, she didn't want that to be interpreted as her own experience, and it wasn't. It was and it wasn't. It was a culture that she knew. Some of the feeling was feeling that she had experienced herself, what she called obsessive love, being in love with someone who was not in love with her. And she also wanted to tackle themes which were not, in the context of the times, not particularly ladylike.
There is an anecdote in Myself When Young where, and I believe this conversation is between herself and her husband, so it's an anecdote from later in their relationship, and she does jump around, but she talks about her passions, and she comments on something about being an inexperienced colonial, and her interlocutor, who I may be wrong, was her husband, talks about her wealth of emotional experience and lived life, which she saw as a revelation for the way Morris Guest had flown off the pen in a way that she was feeling blocked at that time of writing. What can we make of, I guess, the different ways that Henry Handel Richardson lived her life, her emotional life, versus the pure factual biography of it.
I think that's a very interesting exchange between husband and wife when Henry, let's call her Henry, said in a moment of loss of confidence, perhaps, she said, "I don't know how a little colonial like me could hope to write a story set in another country and where the main character is a man, Maurice Guest, who is hopelessly in love with a beautiful but woman who is indifferent to his love. She, in turn, is in love with somebody else. Anyway, what Henry said was, how could a little colonial like me tackle a theme like that? And her husband said, you are very experienced emotionally." Mm. But she had experienced, in her short life at that stage, she was quite young, she had experienced a great deal.
And it seems that in her reflections, that was a revelation to her that she could and had been drawing on those emotional experiences, perhaps even subconsciously, in her life and in her work. I wonder what to make also of her intentions in writing Myself When Young. One thing that jumped out at me from very early on is this is quite episodic, and we'll stick with your convention of calling Henry. I won't go on with Richardson. Henry is always talking about markers in her life. We moved to one place or another, and then saying, not much of it has stuck out for me except for, and then she'll relate an anecdote. So she jumps around impressions, and it's very episodic.
Yes,
What did you make of that storytelling style and what she was prioritising and what she felt needed to be told?
I think she wanted the relationship with her parents to be understood. Mm. Her father's breakdown, the effect on the little family. She had one sister, so it was a total family of four in Australia, in Melbourne. The effect on the children, herself and her sister, of her father's decline in health, which really was, whether it was due to syphilis or whatever, is not quite known. Diagnoses in those days are a bit vague. But it was like he was demented, really, dementing and embarrassing to his daughters. His behaviour became unpredictable. His career as a doctor declined, and he was finally taken to a mental asylum, which his wife couldn't bear, and she managed through a lot of efficient lobbying to get him released from the Kew Mental Asylum into her care, where he died. And Richardson, Henry, is very honest about her feelings of deep embarrassment about his behaviour in public, his dementia, and he was a burden, really. And when he died, with her usual candour, she said, in many ways, his death was a relief. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of the later incidents in our Australian childhood, which are described, show a lighter note, a love of the Australian landscape, the pleasures of an Australian country town, the effect, not pleasure exactly, but her school days at what is now Presbyterian Ladies College in Melbourne, PLC, the ups and downs of that. She falls in love again a couple of times. These are things, I suppose, a history of her early emotional life is there in Myself When Young, in the things that she chose to write about. It's a very short book, and it's a question of priorities. What, at the end of her life, did she want to be on record?
Mm. She also frequently muses, I noted, that on the impressionistic sort of nature of youth, the malleability of the young brain. And she does this quite often when talking about literature that she's loved and the impact that it's had on her later life in letters. I wondered also if that was something of what she was sharing in Myself When Young, this idea that youth is not as important as a linear stage of causes and effects, but the very important impressions that are made that then become a part of the adult that we are. And in this case, a very well written, very famous adult coming to the end of her life. And as you said, these are the things she wanted on record.
I think, yes, I think that's right, Andrew, that she didn't want a linear approach. She wanted to look back on her childhood and take from it the experiences that she believed were formative in her life as a writer and as a woman, a wife, her love for her husband, her husband, who seems to have been, in a way, take a very large part in her development as a novelist. She needed encouragement. She even needed cash, because The Fortunes of Richard Marnie, the trilogy for which she is best known, culminates in the superb Part 3, which she couldn't get a publisher for. Her husband had to subsidize it. It became a tremendous success in the States, in the United States particularly, and it's the one that gave her great reputation. But publishers were wary of it in that period, Depression years, when people didn't want to read sad stories like The Decline of Richard Marnie. But when it was published, it went into edition after edition and has never been forgotten. But her husband was instrumental in that. His faith in her made him tell the publisher to go ahead, that he would subsidise it. So that publication, the support of her husband, is something I think that she wanted that to be very much part of her autobiography, that intellectually they were very much in tune with one another. She could talk to him about anything, and he always made her feel that she could do it. The little colonial that she had been could be a major writer.
And so, of course, we come to the books, and there was one quote that I've taken out of Myself When Young that really got me thinking about what I was reading and where it sat. And it was when she said, "I still distrust having to talk about my books or hold postmortems on them." And while the books are all most definitely discussed and mentioned in Myself When Young, in no way is she trying to say, look, here is an unequivocal reading of any given book. Do you feel, though, that Myself When Young is an attempt to engage with the books and engage with future readers who are going to be interested in not just the books, but Henry Handel Richardson and her role in creating them?
Well, I think she knew very well that there was going to be a biography. Many biographies have been written now, but there was one very much in the offing by the Australian critic and writer Nettie Palmer. And to fend off Nettie Palmer's interpretation was one motive, I think, as well as the more general motive of wishing to be understood and to show Myself When Young, the young woman who was to write these books. She doesn't do a lot of lit crit stuff about her novels, but she does talk about the kind of emotional experience that somehow, by that mysterious writerly process, went into the books that she was to write. She was an early starter. Her books, she didn't really abandon the idea of a musical career easily. And her novels written in her 30s, 40s, 50s. She was born in 1870, and it was through from about World War One through the 20s that she was producing her major work. So it was an unexpected kind of career. It wasn't the first one she thought of. She thought she would be a concert pianist. That didn't happen. And with her husband's encouragement, she turned to literature and found that her great pleasure, I think she says it's her great pleasure, became that of pondering over words, the right word in the right place. That was her great pleasure. and that was her sense of herself as a novelist.
I'm joined by Dr. Brendan Nile in the Australian Classics Book Club, and we are discussing the life of Henry Handel Richardson in her memoir, Myself When Young. Brenda, thank you so much for joining me. I have what I hope isn't an obtuse question, if you can answer it. When this was first decided that we would be discussing this for the book club, I thought to myself, Myself When Young, that phrasing sounded somehow familiar to me. So, it's 2019, I punched it into the Google machine and it immediately comes up with the classic Middle Eastern poet Omar Khayyam. Myself when young did eagerly frequent doctor and saint and heard great argument about it and about, but evermore came out by the same door as I went in. Is this a coincidence? Is there any connection with the title of the book that you're aware of?
Well, the idea of going into the door and coming out at the same door as she went in sounds right. Mm-hmm. Myself when young, the phrase goes with the idea of the book, which ends. It would have ended later if she'd lived longer. The pen dropped from her hands quite literally in mid sentence. It would have been longer. She finishes with the time of her marriage. At that stage, her literary career hadn't even started. It had been foreshadowed, but she didn't have time, if she ever meant to write about the books. So she writes about her childhood in Australia, her discovery of England and Europe, Germany, Leipzig, the life of a music student, and her marriage, which took place in Dublin with sponsorship of relatives there, and her relief, really, extraordinary in the way she writes about her husband, that she was safely married, as if the husband was her security, as indeed he certainly was. That's where the book really ends. It doesn't end with her talking about a relationship with publishers or the creative process, which a lot is known about through her letters, but it just stops. She couldn't write any more. Whether she would have, whether she needed to, is another question, because the origins of her creativity, the origins of her emotional life, seem all to be there very early in her father's life, his decline, his death, her mother's very brave success in making a living for her daughters as a postmistress, taking a job when women, middle-class women like that, didn't take jobs. Her relationship with the mother, which was a bit abrasive at times, but also she admired her mother tremendously. Her mother was her security, and then her husband became her security. She needed a great deal of support. And yes, she was a very strong woman. She was a formidable woman, as I said before. And her household revolved around her and her books. So myself, it's all there in a way in Myself When Young. Perhaps tantalizingly short, one might like a little bit more of it. But as it is, it's a wonderful evocation of an Australian childhood of a most unusual kind, and yet a very Australian one. Very few people have written about country town life or school life in Melbourne as she has. And, of course, the Henry Handel Richardson trilogy takes an enormous amount of Australian life from the early days, her father's period, through to her own.
Dr. Brenda Nile, thank you so much for joining me in the Australian Classics Book Club. We have been discussing Henry Handel Richardson's Myself When Young.
2SER wishes to acknowledge the custodians of the land from which we broadcast, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wadumatagal clan of the Darug Nation, and their elders past, present and emerging. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this city and this region.
Good morning. Yes, this is 2SER 107.3. And yes, a very good morning to everyone. You are listening to Final Draft. Every week it is books, writing and literary culture. And this week, being the end of the month, we have had the Australian Classics Book Club, where we were discussing Henry Handel Richardson's Myself When Young. It is a memoir of her early life and really a way in to discovering some of her incredibly famous novels, Maurice Guest, The Getting of Wisdom. So if you missed any of that, if you would like to listen back to my conversation with Jane Pearson from Text Publishing and Dr. Brenda Nile, then you can go to the 2SER Final Draft Great Conversations podcast. Every week we put up a new podcast, and it is a great way to access new and classic Australian literature. It's available on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're available wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Final Draft Great Conversations. Now, it is almost time for me to go. Got to say goodbye. I'm not going to leave you empty-handed, though. I have got a track coming up. Don't go anywhere. After this fabulous track, which I'm about to introduce, you have got The Vulture's Nest. It is a very unique take on the week in news. I dare say you probably can't get through your week without it. So hello to Sean and everyone getting ready to go on air. And I'm going to get you there with a new track from Thelma Plum. She has got a fantastic album. I am so in love with this album. It's called Better in Black. And the song that I have got is Made for You. My name is Andrew Popel. It is, it's time for me to go. I'm sad. I will be back. I have more books. There are always new Australian books coming out. And I love talking to you about them. But till then, this is Thelma Plum, Made for You. For you. See ya next week and happy reading.
I woke up this morning, never felt so new, never felt so new, and the day was dawn.
stories, ideas, music. 2SER 107.3.